going to start off for worship. God, we thank you so much for this morning. We ask that your hand be on this service. We pray for anyone that hasn't made it here yet. God, would you keep them safe on the roads as some places are slippery? We pray that you bless them and take care of them. And we pray for a good service this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to go ahead and ask Paul to come on up.
We'll start off with the announcements. Anybody that was going to go to Stitches of Love on Thursday, youth group tonight, or dinner in the Chosen on Wednesday, forget about it. It's not happening this week. We got a lot of people gone in Kentucky, and Pastor Paul is currently in Alaska, so some stuff isn't going to be able to be pulled off this week. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today with grateful hearts, thankful for your gift of this day and the opportunity to gather in your name. We ask you to be with our pastor as he is traveling, hiking in Alaska. Be with the crew that went to Kentucky to assist in building and painting and fixing things down there. And as we begin this service, we ask your presence to fill this church. Open our hearts and minds to receive your word. Let the message delivered by Pastor Sean today guide us in worship that's pleasing to you. May your spirit move among us, bringing peace, joy, and understanding. Help us to set aside all distractions and focus fully on you, Lord. Bless this together and empower us to live out your love in our daily lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you're able, please stand for worship.
Good morning. All praise to you. Jesus, you're everything I am. I see the King of Glory coming on the clouds with fire. The whole earth shakes, the whole earth shakes. I see His love and mercy washing over all our sin. People sing, the people sing. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. And I see a generation rising up to take their place. Selfless faith, selfless faith. And I see a near revival stirring as we pray and see. We're on our knees, we're on our knees. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Heal my heart and make it clean. I'll open up my eyes to the things unseen. Show me how to love like you have loved me. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Everything I am for your kingdom's cause. As I walk from earth into eternity. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He walked it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete. Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. Oh, he washed it white as snow.
When we think about how you made a way for us to be placed back in right relationship with you, that you paid the price that was owed to us, going to the cross because you loved us, God. We're so thankful for that this morning, and God, I just pray that that produces a heart of thankfulness today in us as we talk about this topic. We ask that you bless us, take care of us, lead us, and guide us. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning, church. If you are ages 5 through 11 or 12, we are having kids' service downstairs. Some people are out of town right now, so you can go ahead and go downstairs in just 5 seconds. Right now, I want everyone to just greet someone you did not come with and just say hello this time. I don't have any prompts for you. Just say hello and how are you doing? Amen. into service. Grab your coffee and cookies, and don't forget the napkins, right? And we're going to go ahead and get things started. Looks like all the kids that are going down have went down. Awesome. Awesome, awesome. All right, everybody back in? Almost. Everyone's racing to their seats. All right, well, good morning, everyone. I'm so excited. I get to preach again today, so I'm so thankful while Pastor Paul is out of town. We're over this halfway hump of summer. For some people, that's a good thing. That's an exciting thing. For others, it's a sad thing. I don't know which category you fall into. Sad? Okay. All right. There are about 4 weeks left until most kids start back school. And when I think about this as a dad, I just want to slow things down and try to just focus on just all the little things that I can be thankful for while summer is still here. I just want to find those things and highlight them and just say thank you, God, for what you've given me. So we've been going through the book of Psalms this summer, and I'm just excited for what we're going to talk about today. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to Psalms chapter 9. We're going to be in verses 1 through 5. Psalms chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. If you're there, say, I'm there. We're going to have it on the screen, too, so I'm going to go ahead and pray. God, I thank you so much for today. I thank you for just an opportunity to just open up the Bible and just talk through it, wrestle with it, ask questions of it, God, and to be able to do that within a group of people who want to hear from you, want to learn from you. And God, I pray that you help show us how we can apply whatever it is that we hear today in our everyday life, regardless of our profession, regardless of our age, regardless of our church background. God, I pray that you speak to us today. And as I always pray, I ask that you do something. In Jesus' name, amen. So a little bit of context before I read. So we've been in the book of Psalms, and everyone has heard a little bit about it. But it's written by King David, for the most part. It's written also by a few other people. Each book ends with, we've used this term, doxology, which is a praise to God. It's like a song to God. And the main purpose of the entire book is to instruct believers in ways of expressing personal and group worship that's rooted in the word of God and that allows us to give him praise. This is David's favorite subject, and it pops up over and over again, and it's also known as Hebrew poetry. So the language is amazing. The language is a little bit different than we're used to reading or that we're used to hearing in everyday life. And this is where I love this. It also gives us some musical instruction, and it's meant to be sung. So when we talk about praising God, singing to God is a form of praise. It's not the only way that we can praise him, but it's one of the major ways that we can praise him. So Psalms 9, verses 1 through 5, it reads this. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exalt in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. When my enemies turn back, they stumble and perish before your presence. For you have maintained my just cause. You have sat on the throne, giving righteous judgment. You have rebuked the nations. You have made the wicked perish. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. The very word of God. So today I want to preach on the topic, a heart that's thankful to God. A heart that's thankful to God. So we've all been in a situation where we've said thank you and we've not really meant it, right? You don't have to say if it's you or not. I've done that many of times. We sometimes do this with people for whatever reason. But here's the thing. We can't do that with God. And the reason why we can't do it with God is because God actually knows our heart. He knows whether we mean it or whether we don't. This takes me to the first point. True thankfulness to God comes from the heart. True thankfulness to God comes from the heart. In verse 1, David says, I will give thanks to the Lord with my, what's that word? Whole heart. Whole heart means full devotion. Your heart is either in it or it's not. And we can see clearly that this man is thankful to God from the bottom of his heart. That's why if you're a Christian, we're called to love the Lord, not just with pieces of us, or love the Lord not just with one day of the week, but to love the Lord with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our soul. When it comes to David's thankfulness to God, there is no surface level thankfulness for him. He's not faking it. You guys heard fake it till you make it, right? David's not faking it. He's coming with heart. He's been through some things, and he's celebrating the help and the goodness of God. Right now, I want you to think of a time when you made it through something difficult, right? You went through something difficult, and you made it out on the other side. Now, for some people, you might think of a swimming pool because you can't swim, but I'm not trying to bash you. But it's only natural for us to celebrate when we make it through something hard and to just be happy about it. Am I right? We can't help ourselves. Now, here's the thing. Once we begin to see that it was God helping us the entire time, our celebration and our thankfulness then is pointed in a different direction, and it shifts, because then we're pouring out our thankfulness to God and saying, thank you that I made it through this thing and I made it through the other side. What is it that you made it through that you need to be thankful for? When you think back, there's something that you made it through, and now you need to be thankful to God for. Most of us have heard the phrase, and we talked about this a little bit last week and a couple weeks ago, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. But have you ever thought that we can say this phrase over and over and over again, and it actually could mean nothing if our heart is not in it? It's only when you go through something difficult, or when we go through something difficult and we see how God's hand has been helping us the entire time, that we experience the goodness of God. And I think this is where true thankfulness to God comes from our heart. We see thankfulness in the heart come up frequently in Scripture, and Pastor Paul mentioned this last week. He mentioned a glad heart makes a cheerful face. You guys remember that? This comes from Proverbs 15:13, and what's happening here shows us that what goes on the inside of a person, eventually it bubbles over, it makes its way out. Now, it doesn't mean that we always have good days, right? I don't always have good days. There's some days where I just don't feel like talking to anybody. There's some days where I don't feel cheerful, because if I said that I was cheerful every single day and every single moment and I didn't feel stressed, that would make me a liar, right? So we all go through this. But here's the thing. Thankfulness to God, it leads to gratitude, which eventually leads to joy. And when we practice thankfulness and gratitude, it cultivates a joyful heart. And Proverbs 17:22 says that a joyful heart is good medicine. This is the kind of medicine that's free. You don't need a prescription for it. Some people in here know what I'm talking about. You don't need insurance for this kind of medicine. You have free access to this thing, regardless of your race, regardless of your background, regardless if you have the money or not. It's free and it's available to anyone who would seek Jesus with all their entire heart. David wasn't just being polite or going through the motions, but he was trying to convey a message that was sincere. There's a difference between when you say thank you for this food, you know, when you sit at the table and you say thank you for this food because you're just being maybe religious, as compared to when you say thank you because You know that it's only because of God's goodness and God's grace that you have the ability to eat anything in the first place. There's a drastic difference. Maybe you feel that, Sean, my list is small. I don't have that many things to thank God for when I think about the list that I have. There's pain in my life. There's loss in my life. Or you know what? Maybe I don't see anything at all on my list of things to be thankful for. I don't think that's the case. You know what I think? I think that you're just forgetting. I think that you're just forgetting, which all of us has the tendency to do. We all tend to forget the goodness of God in our life. And that brings us to the next thing. Thankfulness comes from remembering what God has done. Thankfulness comes from remembering what God has done. In verse 1, David also says, I will do what? He says, I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I mean, God, like I said before, has brought David through some stuff, and remembering God's faithfulness through it all is the very thing that makes David so, so thankful, because he's been through some stuff. When it comes to remembering, Scripture has a lot to say about this. Deuteronomy 8:2 says this. It says, and you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. You see, the Israelites were told to remember how God had led them through the wilderness all that time over the course of time, and to reflect on the very purpose for him doing it. It was to reveal their heart. Psalms 143:5 says this. It says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the work of your hands. This right here is a good example of meditating and just thinking through how God has been consistently involved in his life. Have you done that? Have you paused and just stopped and said, you know what, man, I see how God has been consistently involved in my life. Even through the pain, even through the ups and downs, I see some things that I could be thankful for in the midst of everything kind of going sideways. Ecclesiastes 12:1 says, remember also your creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. This one right here is a good example of how remembering things about God right now is helpful for the future. Remembering what God is doing right now in your life and in my life is helpful for what's coming for tomorrow. It's helpful for what might be coming for in 5 years. He's preparing us. And then lastly, 1 Corinthians 11:24 says, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, this is my body, which is given for you. So we see that even when we take communion as a church, we are being obedient, but it's also a way for us to remember Jesus together as a body when we go through that motion. And then I'll give you one more. John 14:26, it says this. It talks about the Holy Spirit. It says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So ultimately, when it comes to teaching and remembering or retention, it is the job of the Holy Spirit. It is only by the power of the Holy Spirit that we can remember anything at all, because it seems as if we all tend to have amnesia. That's how Satan works. He wants us to forget the things of God. He wants us to forget the good things that God actually has placed in our life and the good things that God has actually brought us through. If you want to remember what God has done in your life, here's a practical tip, and probably a lot of you have heard this. It would be to tell somebody or to write it down. Tell somebody, hey, this is what God has done, or to write it down. We can do this through journaling, or we can just write it on a note card or write it in our Bible. When I'm going through something hard and I'm feeling like I'm in a drought, I use this as encouragement for myself. When Satan tells me a lie, I remind myself of the truth of God. I remind myself of what God has done in my life. I remind myself of what God has done in my family, and I remind myself of what God has brought me through. This is something that produces a heart that's thankful to God when we think about it. So maybe you don't have anything that you try. Maybe that will be a blessing to you. Maybe that's something you can try for yourself. When your heart is overflowing with all these reasons for being thankful to God, it can radiate from you. That takes me to the next thing. Thankfulness leads to praise and singing. I would sing, but I'm not, because that wouldn't be good. I'm just being honest with you guys. In verse 2, David says this. He says, "I will sing praise to your name." In Scripture, we see David singing and praising God multiple times in multiple places in multiple different ways. There's the deliverance song. After being delivered from Saul and all his other enemies that he had, David sang a song of praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. We can find this in 2 Samuel 22, and it also comes up in Psalms 18. Next, there's attention given to music as praise. David appoints musicians and singers to lead worship in the temple. This is demonstrating his commitment to music as praise. And then the book of Psalms in general, which we've been talking about throughout this whole entire summer, it's a collection of songs, as you've heard before, and also poems and prayers that we use for worship, praise, and reflection. And then the next thing, we see David famously dancing to God. We heard a little piece of this, I think, last week. He famously dances before God. He dances before the Ark of the Covenant with all of his might. I love this. Can you picture this? A person dancing before God with all of their might. Picture it in your mind. He was so joyful that he was just unrestrained in his worship. Imagine what it would look like in here if all of us was just unrestrained in our worship. Some of you, that's like, oh, that'd be bad imagery. Some of you is like, no, praise God, that would be amazing. But just imagine what that would look like to be unrestrained in our worship. The last thing is music is healing. You remember David played music on his lyre to soothe King Saul when he was tormented by an evil spirit. I'll tell you this, I'm a firm believer that, man, music is so important because it has a major impact on our mood and on our worship, and I use music a lot. One thing, and I've shared this with a couple of you, I struggle on my insides with washing dishes. Now, I wash a lot of dishes, don't get me wrong. Our dishes are always, we always have dishes in our kitchen. We have three kids, and some of you know what I'm talking about. But most of the time when I wash dishes, I need to turn some music on because I have to get myself ready. I have to get in the mood. I have to say, you know what? I'm going to wash these dishes, and Father, I'm going to do it unto you. I'm going to do it as praise unto you, because guess what? We're going to have clean dishes in the morning when we go to look for them. So I use music as a motivator. I use the lyrics of the songs to motivate me and to get my eyes fixated on God. Most times before I preach, I will throw my AirPod in. I will listen to a couple of different songs to get me ready to fill my mind with the things that God says about me and to remove the lies that Satan tries to tell me about myself. Music is a motivator. So we see praise and singing reflected in Scripture a whole bunch of times, numerous times. Psalms 100, verses 1 through 5 says, "To make a joyful noise to the Lord." A joyful noise to the Lord. Psalms 150, 1 through 6 says this, and I'm going to read this because I think we need to hear it. It says, "Praise the Lord!" Exclamation mark. "Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens." Exclamation mark. "Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness." Exclamation mark. "Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp." exclamation mark. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe, exclamation mark. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals, exclamation mark. You see, a thankful, overflowing heart eventually turns into a kind of praise that's unrestrained. Praise that, if we're honest, I mean, it might be a little disturbing to some people. But I think this is why this kind of praise tends to get a little suppressed sometimes. Because we're concerned about how we look. We're concerned about what other people think about us. You see, when praise becomes an outward expression, it takes hold of the body and it takes hold of the voice. We see this when people root for their favorite sports team. Who's your favorite sports team? Throw it out there. All right, a lot of difference. See, now we got controversy, right? All right, controversy. We see this when people root for their favorite sports team. We see this when people get excited about their specific political candidate. We see this when people get excited into that professional program that you completed all those prerequisites for and you put in all those applications just to get accepted into. We also see this when parents celebrate their kids losing their first tooth or when their kids get married. Hopefully I've hit a lot of you with that. There is nothing wrong with any of these things, but unfortunately these things, they often get more excitement and more attention and more praise from us than God. Once we see how God has been at work in our lives and we see how he has had his hands on everything, this is what helps us to be thankful. And when you're thankful, I just want to say this, it's okay to be loud. It's okay to be quiet as well, too. It's okay to praise God however you feel that you need to. Be obedient to God. Now, it might be loud, as I said before, or some might not agree with the way that you praise God, but it's better to be obedient to God than to be overly concerned about what other people think about you. Hopefully that's freeing to someone today. Verses 3-4, David mentions that his enemies are turning back and that his just cause is maintained. Remember when I said that David went through some things. Even in the midst of all his enemies that he had, the battles that he has won or that he survived, some of them indirectly, some of them directly, all the scars that he has from all these different things, God maintained him. God was present in David's life from the very beginning, and he was fighting for him as his enemies were stumbling and perishing. One specific example, and I like this one because it just shows an entire viewpoint of what happens in his life, but one specific example is Saul turning back multiple times and then eventually getting defeated by the Philistines. David wasn't even the one that took him out. It was the Philistines. Scripture also mentions often how God maintains his purpose. Not King Saul's purpose, not necessarily David's purpose, but God's purpose. Philippians 1:6 says this. It says that I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So whatever God starts in us, man, he's going to finish it. Whatever he starts working in us, he's going to finish exactly what he intended to finish, no matter what. Philippians 2:13 says this. It says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work and to perform his good pleasure. So it is God that is working in us to complete and do the things that he desires. It's not about us at all. It's about giving him praise and giving him the glory, and we're just instruments to be used by him. Church, we need to, and I say this to myself as well too, we need to continually trust that God will finish whatever he has started in our life, and we need to believe that his plans will be carried out regardless of any oppositions, regardless of any hurdles that we face in our life. If you're leaning on God and you're thinking about how your purpose is to glorify him, if that's the truth, then I want you to rest in the fact that, guess what? Man, God's got you. Somebody needs to hear that. God's got you. You might be leaning on your own strength, or you might just be trying to figure out, man, how am I going to do this, or how am I going to get through this? God's got you. I'm encouraged by how David believed that no matter what, the God he served sat on the throne, and the God he served, he judged righteously through it all. Church, is this what you believe? Think right now to yourself, is this what you believe in your heart? Believing that God is on the throne means that nothing happens without him knowing about it or allowing him or him allowing it to take place. This could be hard, right? Believing that God is a righteous judge means that whatever God judges as right or wrong is fair. But this could be hard as well, too, right? You see, it's the same God that sat on the throne during David's life that is the same God who sits on the throne right now in this very moment. And yes, the Bible does call David a man after God's own heart. And yes, when we look at David's life, we can see a lot in his life that we could benefit from and that we can learn from. But you know what? Here's the thing. He eventually did some things that was sinful. And his time as king, just like all the other kings before him, eventually came to an end. You know what I'm thankful for, though? And this blesses my heart. I'm thankful that God uses imperfect people to carry out his purpose. That's for me, and that's also for you, because no one in here is perfect except for Jesus. And God loves to use imperfect people to carry out his purpose. I hope that encourages somebody today. I'm also so thankful that God uses David's life to point us to the one that is greater than him, which is Jesus. In 1 Samuel 7, God makes a promise to David that his kingdom or his throne will be this throne that will be established not just for in his lifetime, not just for the next generation behind him, but a throne that would be established for eternity. It was going to come through his seed, which also points us to Jesus. Everything we read in the Bible, we can get to Jesus. And I pray that every time the word of God is open, that you hear the gospel, that I hear the gospel, and that it blesses us, that we can hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Because at the end of the day, it's all about him. Folks, at the end of our life, we will go before God and we're going to be judged, right? The bad news is that any sin on our record causes us to miss the mark of heaven, because God is righteous, as we just said, right? And he can accept our sin, which makes all of us guilty. That makes me guilty. That makes you guilty. But I'm so thankful that God didn't leave it that way. Amen. I'm so thankful that God didn't leave us stuck in that guilt, that he provided a way for us to have that guilt lifted. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus, he's the one that came to provide a solution. As I say this mostly all the time, God, he stepped down from heaven. He lived a perfect life as Jesus, and he died on the cross so that your sins, or let's say it like this, so that your record, so that my record could be forgiven. Where can you find that at? We can't find that anywhere. That's the grace of God. That is the love of God. And I'm so thankful that Jesus didn't stay dead, because he then rose from the grave like he said he would. And he now intercedes on your behalf and on my behalf. And he fights for us. He fights for everyone who has placed their faith and trust in him. Think about that today, church. As I get ready to close, I'm going to invite those that are doing worship to come up. It's by faith in Jesus alone that makes a person right with God. And this very thing is what produces a heart that's thankful to him, because we then understand what it is that we've been saved from. Once you've been rescued from something, you know that if you had not been rescued, you would have drowned. That very thing would have taken you out. So remembering that is nourishment for our soul. Church, I want to remind all of us that we need to remember what God has brought us through. We need to think consistently about those things and how God has showed up for each and every one of us in those moments during our life. I know everyone here has something. And I think that if we practice this, I believe this will lead us to have hearts that will praise God and that will thank him from the bottom of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Join us for worship. God, we thank you so much for today. I pray that your word has spoken to us. I pray that something sticks with each and every person that's in this room right now as they leave out of these doors. God, I pray that you remind them that you're present with them and that you're for them. We love you so much in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, look for it really quick as I give you your benediction. May you be encouraged. May you remember that God is faithfully fighting for you. May you remember who it is that actually sits on the throne. May you find comfort and peace and be thankful about that as you leave this morning and go about your week. May God be with you, and may God bless you so much and have you remember how he's been present in your life. Go in peace. God bless you. In Jesus' name.